Ladies, gentlemen, and all between, welcome to the Arms Conference in Berlin. Thank you so much for coming. It's overwhelming to see this lecture hall so crowded. My name is Andreas Prezel. I'm an historian and working at the Magnus Hirschfeld Society, and I'm the conference manager of these ALMS, and for this session, I'm the master of ceremony, as you can see. We are very grateful to have you here. Only a couple of days before, the Queer History Conference were held at San Francisco State University, joined by 350 scholars. It's followed now by our ALMS conference. We are welcoming over 400 participants from over 40 countries. Both conferences itself make history as likely the largest gatherings of people interested in queer history. Our ALMS conference gathers scholars and researchers of queer history, and furthermore, many non-academic experts from public, private, and grassroots archives, collecting and preserving materials of all types of LGBTIQ communities, as well as librarians who bring queer literature to the public and offering a queer space as an important information forum at their venues. And not at least, people who are working in museums to offer queer art and culture for the public. ALMS are gatherings, professional and volunteers, young and LGBTIQ activists, and the older pioneers of the homosexual movement, who became and becoming aware of the treasure of queer history and its importance for present and future. We are extremely pleased to welcome and present so many ALMS experts from all over the world. That this is possible is due to a great help, and at this very first point, I would like to thank all members of our international board. They became ambassadors of this ALMS conference, spread the word in their networks on every continent, and activated people to come to Berlin. We are very grateful to them, and we are proud to have most of them here. Thanks a lot. When we invited for this conference, we got more than 400 proposals to our call for papers. It proves a great need to meet, to share experiences and best practices, to get and give support, asking for help and solidarity. The great echo and response prove the need to sustain the international network built up by the ALMS conference series, to discuss our missions and visions in our countries and worldwide, both regarding the different conditions in the countries and targeting to overcoming borders. On the other hand, the overwhelming interest was a challenge for the ALMS organizers. Thanks to the help of our steering committee, we could set up a program of more than 200 presentations in 6 parallel sessions added by exhibitions, performances, and film matinees in between. Now, this offered event becomes a challenge for you as well. Our program is like an all-you-can-eat offer, but everyone knows you can't get it all. We are hoping that you will decide with your tastes and preferences, and you are curious and open-minded to learn more about the queer ALMS diversity. We are happy to offer a unique opportunity to share queer knowledge, to ensure that our history continues to be preserved and shared, and to discuss the current challenges and potentials of queering memory. But what could it mean, queering memory? Therefore, have a look at Berlin. The official welcome center of our city propagates, and I quote, "Berlin is a rainbow city, committed to open-mindedness, acceptance, and mutual respect." Focused on our conference title, we could ask, how many colors have the claimed rainbow? Such, when we are looking at our our own queer archives, museums, libraries, and collections itself, or if we're looking at queer exhibitions and research projects. Our focus on queering memory could open the mind for all the other colors we have overlooked or sometimes ignored in the past. It could give us a sense of the diversity of our communities, to take into account the other colors of the rainbow, to be aware of the diversity in the past as well as in the present, and so given us a sense of attachment and solidarity within the current queer communities. On the other hand, if we are addressing our conference slogan, Queering Memory, to public museums, libraries, and state archives, we all too often missing a queer representation. In Berlin, sometimes a rainbow is shining over the famous and fabulous museum island in the center of the city. But if you look inside the historical art and art museums, you hardly would find a permanent representation of queer history. It's still hard to find traces in the archives or references in exhibitions. It's still not an integrated part of history telling as well as naturally regarded and included part of history teaching and public education. But there are examples from abroad, and in the next days, international experts will give us knowledge about ways how to change this absence and to bring more colors of the queer rainbow in the museums. Actually, Berlin City reobtains a new big museum attraction at the so-called Museum Island. It will offer exhibitions of Berlin history and the famous international collections of the Ethnological Museums of Berlin. These collections will be presented in the rebuilt castle, with a mounted historical facade and a modern interior design inside. And my hope is that it will become similar to my outfit today. Outside it seems a little bit old-fashioned, but inside it's modernly and queer. So, to make it clear, comparing to other cities, Berlin not only declares to be a rainbow city with a highly international attraction. Berlin is really on a promising way, and it's already shining the rainbow colors far beyond the borders of the city and Germany. And we are absolutely delighted that this arts conference could be funded by the Berlin state institutions, by the Hauptstadtkulturfonds, the Cultural Capital Fund, the Lottery Foundation Berlin, and not at least the Berlin Senate Chancellery as well. I'm very happy to be able to greet and welcome here the representatives, Sefsan Shapley and Michael Meyer, Gereon Sivanich and Sylvia Kröger. Thanks a lot for your funding. This report proves exemplary that many things have changed in Berlin. The changes, especially in the past two decades, are very impressive. Our next speaker will give us an impression. It's Sefsan Shapley, the State of Berlin delegate of this federation and the permanent secretary for active citizenship and international relations. Please join me in welcoming Sefsan Shapley.
Dear Mr. Pretzel, ladies and gentlemen, and all between, despite of the challenges you mentioned that the city has, it still was a beautiful love declaration for Berlin, and me as a Berliner, I thank you for that. And I thank you also for the invitation. I'm delighted to be here with you at this very important and very crucial moment of time that you're gathering here in Berlin. This conference is dedicated to queering memory, memory and recollection, preservation, and passing on. Held for the first time in Minnesota and then in Amsterdam and London, the conference is now taking place in Berlin. And I think I can say self-confidently that is the perfect venue, because Berlin, it's not only, as I said, my hometown, it's the city of history and the city of freedom. Diversity and queer life belongs to our city and have had a decisive impact on its culture for centuries now. And because of that, and because we too have the important task of queering memory in Berlin, I'm really delighted that you're here, and I'm looking forward to seeing the results of the conference. In my opinion, cultural memory is vital to society's identity, and that's what makes your commitment to queering memory so crucial. It sheds lights on the essential part of our history in Germany, in Europe, and worldwide. The history of queer movement, of the struggle for equal rights and against discrimination, against persecution and murder. It's a history of rebellion, of emancipation, of liberation, and it has had a profound influence on us as a society and of many of you as individuals, probably. Your aim is to shine a spotlight on this history, to create venues and possibilities for preserving queer cultural treasures and to make these accessible to the public. There is a long way to go for that. For the next few days, people from all over the world, from academia, archives, libraries, and museums will be gathering here for an exchange across borders on how to generate and preserve queer memory. So let me start by thanking you, Mr. Pretzel, for making Berlin the heart of this year's ALMS conference, for choosing an ideal venue for a discussion of diversity and its history, and for bringing together people at the House der Kultur und der Welt, or House of World Cultures. And you're doing that in a year with huge significance for a queer movement, the 50th anniversary of the Stonewall Uprising in New York. It's also the 100th anniversary of the founding of the Institut für Sexualwissenschaften, or Institute for Sex Research, by Magnus Hirschfeld. As he once put it out, if we can say anything all about people, it's that they are born dissimilar. He was describing something that today, especially here in Berlin, is almost taken for granted, its diversity. There is also a legal part we have to consider, of course, when we talk about queer movements and queer rights. But we all know that repealing laws and harmonizing legal norms is not enough to ensure a free society. That we need more if the values of diversity and freedom are to be anchored in our consciousness and passed on to future generations. That's why it's so important that we are aware of the history of the queer movement, that we find places where we can learn about historical events and the people behind them, that we collect queer cultural assets, for instance, in museums and libraries, and make them accessible to the public while also taking advantage of the possibilities offered by digital technology, and that we send a clear message that this is our shared history. It's a history of the struggle for equality and freedom, an uphill struggle against fierce resistance fought by courageous people who are role models for all of us today. We owe today's open, diverse, and free society to their commitment and their sacrifices. And we owe it to the society and to people all over the world to never forget that. Because we know that worldwide LGBTIQ are often not respected, that people in far too many countries are still being harassed, and I'm not talking about only repressive regimes like in the Middle East. Also in Europe, we have still discrimination. In countries where they're still being harassed, persecuted, attacked, and even murdered because of their sexual orientation. And we know that people in this situation are often forced to flee their countries, to escape with nothing but clothes on their back if they are to survive and have to have any hope of self-determination, of a self-determined life. All of these issues play a role when ALMS conference seeks international answers to pressing questions on how the queer community can be protected and can be strengthened. I'm delighted to say there are more than 30 representatives of Berlin partner cities today, and I'm very happy and I feel honored and privileged to be here and to having had the chance to support it, like even if it was still only financially. To all of you, welcome to Berlin. As Berlin's permanent secretary for active citizenship, defending diversity and openness is my responsibility every day. We need to preserve a culture of memory, pay tribute to hard work and commitment, and oppose any and every attempt to curtail hard-won civil rights and liberties. It's especially crucial these days. We need to keep an eye on many different fields at once. That includes education and the culture of memory, health, nursing care, and aging. In other words, all aspects of LGBTQI life and eliminating obstacles and discrimination. I'm glad to say that we are continually enhancing Berlin's state initiative on self-determination and exception of sexual diversity. As of now, many different projects and measures in areas like violence prevention and refugee work are benefited from this initiative, and these projects are desperately needed. Our goal must be to break down barriers and discrimination in all areas of life and to strengthen free, self-determined LGBTIQ life. And that, yeah. And that must also include areas that are especially important to all of us. Raising visibility of sexual diversity, for instance, historiography and research in archives and libraries, and in public perceptions as a whole. That's why we awarded a prize for lesbian visibility in 2018 for the first time, with the idea of uncovering the traces of lesbian life and history in our society. The Senate is about to approve a decision to further develop the state initiative on self-determination and acceptance of gender and cultural diversity, and I'm very pleased about that. That will allow us to keep improving the action plan we adopted for the first time in 2009. In other words, we are on the right track, but there is still a long way to go. 30 years after the fall of the wall, we're especially reminded of how precious freedom really is and of how too much for granted we've taken it for far too long. And we also remember how much courage and determination it took to regain that freedom. That memory is both an admonition and an incentive to stay on the path of freedom. And your conference today is another bright spot along this path. And let me just share with you a very personal note, because it's very special for me to be here as someone who fights minorities' rights. I am like a child of Palestinian refugees who came here as refugees in the 70s. That is a minority. I'm a Muslim. That is a minority. I'm a practicing Muslim. That is another minority. And I'm a woman and I'm young in politics. That is another thing that is rather not so typical. So defending minorities' rights and defending rights of groups that are harassed, discriminated in society, that is also a very personal thing and a personal agenda. And especially these days, I feel that it's so crucial and important that minorities stay together and build alliances, because neither of us as a minority is able to like protect freedom and free life in this very cruel world. So it's on all of us to work together and to establish a more to establish alliances and bridges and to overcome probably some differences that we have, which is so normal to have them, but to stick together. And I say that also as a Muslim, where I know that there is a lot of homophobia in our societies, but it's still so important that we stay together and that we work together and that we fight together and that we don't allow all the haters and all those who want to split us apart to be successful in doing so. So I think, and I'm very positive, and I'm very optimistic that we will be able to do that. Thank you for listening.
When I joined the first IAMS conference in Minneapolis in 2006, I learned much about the importance of international solidarity and support. For the two-day IAMS conference, it was incentive for me especially to look for funding to support people to join this gathering. I'm very grateful that I could find encountered open ears. I hadn't to convince or persuade. Instead, I could found very willing supporters to offer bursaries for IAMS attendees. Great thanks to the Berlin Cultural Capital Fund again, as well as the Berlin Senate Chancellery to support people from Berlin Twin Cities, for example, from Tokyo and Beijing, Los Angeles and Buenos Aires. And due to the support of the German Foundation, Remembrance, Responsibility and Future, we could support people from many countries of East Europe, and not at least to present the Polish exhibition Berlin, Yogyakarta. The Böll Foundation of the German Green Party supported people from India and Thailand, Tunisia, South Africa, and Colombia. I'm very glad that we have the representative of all these mentioned foundations here. Please give a warm welcome to Olga Deitsche, Christa Meyer, as well as to Genia Sarah Mekic. And the next applause should earn the founder of the IAMS conference. I'm more than happy that we could make it possible that he comes to Berlin. It's a great honor and a pleasure to introduce Gene Treader from Minneapolis. He is not only the inventor and organizer of the very first IAMS conference, but the founder of one of the biggest LGBTQ collections of the world, which was named after him, the John Nicholas Treader Collection. It houses over 3,000 linear meters of material about the LGBT experiences in more than 50 languages. Please enjoy me in welcoming the IAMS pioneer, Jean Nicholas Treader. Now it's here.
Well, thank you very much, Andreas. That was a very nice introduction. And let me say that I am so very proud and so very happy, so honored to be here in Berlin for this conference. This is exactly what we wanted to have happen when we started the first conference back in the year 2000, to have so many people from so many different countries all get together. Because in a sense, in that great gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender diaspora throughout the world, we are a family. We are a family like no other. We get along. Let's face it, if you are gay and lesbian and you come to a conference like this and spend time here and at other places and collect GLBT materials from throughout the world, I personally don't believe that we hate as much as some other people do. We meet each other, we love each other, we find our stories within each other. And each of us, in each of our archives, each of our museums, in each of our special collections. We have very, very interesting stories to tell, not just each other, but everybody. And that's one of the things that we need to look forward to in this world. We've had a few people in the United States and some other places where they're younger people generally, and they come up and they say, we don't need to learn gay and lesbian history. You know, we'll just learn regular history if we have to. You know, and gay and lesbian history really isn't that important and everything like that. But it is. It is so important to all of us to know our background and to know each and every one of us, our backgrounds. That's why I say we're kind of a family. And when we get together at an ALMS conference, we're kind of at a reunion. You know, a family reunion where we get together and can talk. So many of us don't know those stories, you know, about... the one that always comes to my mind first is when New Zealand passed the law giving equal rights to gays and lesbians, the Salvation Army of New Zealand burned down the Gay and Lesbian New Zealand archives to the ground. And they had lost basically everything. When we found out about it, for those of us from other gay and lesbian archives and collections around the world, we sent them back copies of their materials, duplicates that we had of their materials, things that they wanted and that they needed to start their archives again. And we had the archives back up and running within a year. And then the New Zealand National Library took them over, they said, to protect them forever so that there would always be a gay lesbian archives in New Zealand. And that's just one story. And that's just one story among the 400 or so stories that we have here today. And then think of all those others. And those are the stories that we have to tell the youth. Those are the stories that are so exciting and so encouraging that our youth need to find out about them. And it doesn't matter if our youth are, you know, transgender or bisexual or gay or lesbian or whatever they are, you know, queer, independent. Duluth, Minnesota did one of the things that I thought was best. They were having this dispute that a lot of us have had in our communities about what do we put on our pride badges this year. And so they started out with GLBT, and then A for allies, and then Q for queers, and then I for independence. And they finally got going, and in the end they just put the entire English alphabet on their badge. It's a wonderful, you know, pride pin. And so we have one in the collection back in Minnesota. But... It's just a wonderful way of looking at it. You know, we are all there. We're all together. We need to share with each other and need to share those stories. And the stories collecting, you know, how many of us have been called at 2 and 3 in the morning and have someone say, oh, Hiram just died. His parents were here and they took all his stuff and put it in the dumpster. And it's all going away. They're going to come and pick the dumpster up tomorrow morning at the garbage department. And you need to come and save his stuff. And we do. I mean, I hear that from gay and lesbian collectors all over the world. That, yeah, we got up at 2 in the morning. We went down. We picked all the stuff up. They did it in Milwaukee not that long ago. They got a call about 2 or 3 in the morning, and somebody had cleaned out, the Organization for Gay and Lesbian Businesses in Milwaukee had gone defunct for whatever reason. It didn't matter. But they had cleaned out their offices and just dumped everything in a dumpster. And so the people from the archives in Milwaukee went down, great big plastic garbage bags, and took out, I think they said, somewhere between 3 and 15 huge plastic bags of all the business records of all the gay businesses and lesbian businesses and transgender and bisexual businesses for Western Wisconsin out of the garbage thing and brought them back to the archives to save them. And that's what we do. And I like those stories. I think those stories are so exciting and so wonderful. And I hope to hear more from all of you. And, you know, if you don't mind too much, I hope to share some that I have too. You know, I'm a big chatter. Just tell me to be quiet. That's enough, Gene. You know, go on. So let me kind of wrap up. We were talking about all the anniversaries. And anniversaries like Stonewall and that are wonderful, and we need to have them and know about them and celebrate them. But, you know, they develop just like anything else. And so they don't always have to be a protest. They don't always have to be, you know, against something. They can just be a celebration of our life and a celebration of gay and lesbian life and transgender life and everything like that. So let me end with something from an anniversary that they had right here in Germany not that long ago. It was the 500th. Anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation. And Martin Luther said, even if I were to know that the world were to end tomorrow, I would still plant, excuse me, I would still plant my apple tree today. And that's what we, as gay, lesbian, archivists, museumologists, scientists, reference workers, everything do. We are out there planting apple trees. So, thank you.
Thanks a lot, Gene. As Jean already mentioned, our arms conference also commemorates the 100th anniversary of the world's queer archive, library, museum, and special collection. In 1919, Magnus Hirschfeld opened the Institute for Sex Research, which was destroyed by the Nazis in 1933. What happened in 1933, when the Nazis, together with the conservatives, came to power, could not be guessed. When it was opened, full of hope, in 1919. This institute became a worldwide known spearhead for sexual reform and became very popular for the Berlin queer community and far beyond. Remembering its fate can give us a sense that we must be aware of political dangerous developments in the present. I learned from history that not only that we must be vigilant and resistant, but also to ensure that the collections of the queer past could survive in case of emergency due to an international network, like Magnus Hirschfeld once tried to do, also not very successful. For the present and the uncertain future, the arms conferences with a built-up network could provide such an international support. It's the only safety net we have. Of high importance becomes the digitalization as well. It's not only a way to create a virtual existence for queer history, but more and more important way to share the knowledge worldwide and offer learning programs. We are happy to provide you at this conference two professional digital projects. They are contributing and participating. There is Adam Metu Digital. Their project offers primary sources for teaching and research, and with an impressive collection of sexuality and gender. On the other scale, the Cengage Learning Project. They are offering their Archives of Sexuality Project and will offer you a link for a 2-week trial access to the archive. So don't miss to have a look at these inspiring presentations during our conference. This in mind, our next speakers will give you an impression of current challenges. Challenges the two women face to build up a queer archive in Moscow and to find ways to make queer history available and public. Please enjoy me to welcoming Elena Gusiatinskaya and Elena Zertlich. Dobra pozdravljač.
Just a little note, this presentation will be given in Russian and German. I'm hoping that as many people as possible got headphones if you don't understand either of those languages. If not, we are recording this session, so it will be possible to go back and listen later. So don't worry if you don't have headphones.
Yeah.
Es ist eingeschaltet. Sehr geehrte Damen und Herren, liebe Freundinnen und Freunde, liebes Orga-Team der ELMS-Konferenz. Seit 28 Jahren bin ich eine lesbische Aktivistin in Russland und heute ist mir Glück und die Ehre zugefallen, Ihnen Frau Elena Gusiatinskaya vorzustellen. Es wird übersetzt, ja? So.
Sie übersetzen simultan, Sie können einfach weiterreden.
Gut, gut. Ich habe verstanden, dass es schon eine simultane Übersetzung gibt. Danke. So, das Projekt von Frau Gusiatinskaya ist einmalig in Russland. Sie ist Gründerin, Sammlerin und Inhaberin des Lesben- und Schwulenarchivs in Moskau. Wir nennen ihr Projekt unser Archiv, denn wir haben kein anderes. Und jetzt sagt Ihnen Frau Gusiatinskaya ihre Grüßworte.
Большое спасибо.
Schönen Dank.
Большое спасибо всем моим друзьям, организаторам этого архива и Андреа Суплице за любезное приглашение на эту конференцию. Это приглашение для меня вначале явилось немного удивительным. Я знала об этой конференции, о ее значении, о размахе этой конференции. И я думала, несколько удивительным приглашение человека, для которого это было, этот проект был, в общем, частной инициативой в начале 90-х годов. Но...
So. Sehr, sehr geehrte Damen und Herren, ich bedanke mich herzlich bei meinen Freundinnen und Freunden, bei den Organisatoren, bei dem Orga-Team dieser Konferenz, die mich dazu eingeladen haben. Ich habe seit langem schon über dieses Projekt, über ELMS gehört, aber die Einladung dazu war mir eine angenehme Überraschung. Denn ich dachte, es wäre ein internationales Projekt für professionelle Archivisten, Bibliothekarinnen und Bibliothekaren und so weiter. Und es war mir insbesondere angenehm, dass mein Projekt, das ich als eine private Initiative führe, auch anerkannt und so hoch eingeschätzt wurde, dass ich dazu eingeladen worden bin.
Я знала, что я здесь увижу очень многих друзей. Я увидела здесь своих друзей из Франции, которые помогали архиву в самом начале его существования. Но для меня было огромным удовольствием и неожиданностью увидеть здесь Джина Твиттера, который был в архиве, был в моей квартире, где этот архив существует, во время одного из гей-прайдов уже много лет тому назад. И...
Ich habe schon gewusst, dass ich auf dieser Konferenz viele Freundinnen und Freunde von mir sehen würde. Es sollten meine Freundinnen und Freunde aus Frankreich, aus anderen Ländern sein, die unserem Archiv, meinem Projekt von Anfang an viel geholfen haben. Sie haben das Projekt auf verschiedene Weise unterstützt. Aber eine besonders große Überraschung für mich war, dass ich hier Herrn
Jim Twitter
wieder sehen würde. Ja.
Jim Twitter,
er war in meinem Archiv, in meiner Wohnung, dort, wo mein Archiv untergebracht wurde, während einer der Gay-Pride in Moskau.
Эта встреча произвела на меня тогда очень большое впечатление.
Das Treffen damals hat mich sehr stark beeindruckt.
И разговор с Джином Твиттером, беседа, материалы, которые я от него получила, меня подвигли к тому, чтобы продолжать это дело и дальше.
Und das Gespräch mit dem Herrn Twitter, seine Unterstützung, die Materialien, die er damals für mein Archiv mitgebracht hatte, haben mich nochmals inspiriert und dazu bewogen, dass ich meine Sache weitermachte, dass ich mein Projekt fortsetzte.
Со времени того гей-прайда, который произошел в ужасных условиях в Москве, ситуация в России не улучшилась, если не ухудшилась.
Seit dem ersten Gay-Pride, das damals in Moskau unter schrecklichen Verhältnissen stattgefunden hatte, hat sich die Situation leider nicht verbessert, sondern auch sogar noch mehr verschlechtert.
Но об этом, обо всем и о существовании архива, о его проектах, планах, об условиях сохранения нашей огромной коллекции мы поговорим в субботу. Я приглашаю вас на встречу, и вы будете иметь возможность задать мне все вопросы.
Die Einzelheiten, also über dies alles, wie das Projekt, das Archiv nämlich entstand, wie es sich weiterentwickelte, unter welchen Verhältnissen es existierte und jetzt existiert, sprechen wir am Samstag, 29. in der Session 3 in K1. Dort, Sie sind herzlich eingeladen und da können Sie mir alle beliebigen Fragen stellen und da werde ich auf über alles eingehender erzählen.
А теперь в заключение позвольте мне еще раз выразить свою радость от встречи со всеми вами.
Und zum Schluss erlauben Sie mir noch einmal meine riesengroße Freude zum Ausdruck zu bringen, meine Freude über dieses Treffen und darüber, dass ich Sie alle hier sehen darf und kann.
Большое спасибо, Елена Елена. When we started to organize this conference, we invited the organizers of the last two ARMS conferences in Amsterdam and London to learn from their experiences. Amongst other things, we learned how important and how necessary it is to get support from the community-based institutions and foundations to participate in their experiences and networks, and not at least to get money as well.
At this point, I want to thank our community supporters. First of all, the Federal Foundation Magnus Hirschfeld, welcoming to its managing director Jörg Litwin-Schubartels and its scientific advisor Daniel Baranowski. The Drei Linden GmbH, which is very active in human rights projects for women and sexual minorities, thanks to managing director Ise Bosch. The Antje-Mehrzweck-Stiftung, a very popular community-based foundation in Germany. Welcome to Josh Hoeneß. The Association Homosexuality and History, an umbrella organization for German-speaking researchers on queer history from Germany, Austria and Switzerland. Welcome to Michael Schön. The Elberskirchen-Hirschfeld House. It's a flagship project for a new queer culture house in Berlin. Welcome, Christiane Herdl. And not at least, the Schwules Museum, especially for hosting the welcome gathering yesterday evening. Welcome, Birgit Bosold and Peter Rebeck and their team. Thanks a lot. I want to thank all these foundations, institutions for the support, as well as the organizers of the last two ARMS conferences who came to Berlin to share their secrets with us to organize this big event. We have here the organizers of the ARMS conferences from Amsterdam in 2012, Lonneke van den Honert and Jacques van der Wel as well. And I'm very happy that the London organizer, Jan Pimblett, could make it possible as well to join our conference, and she will give us a welcome address now. Please welcome Jan Pimblett.
Well, thank you very much for that very warm welcome. I think it's sort of over-egging me a bit to say that I am the organizer of the London Conference. There was a lovely and wonderful team representing the Bishopsgate Institute, the University of Westminster, and of course my own institution, London Metropolitan Archives. And it was a very energetic team, let's put it that way. So it was very much that kind of effort. I think it's been fascinating listening to people's contributions so far, some of which resonates very much with what we have discovered along our way. I have to say that I have actually just retired from my post at London Metropolitan Archives, but as you can see, I'm sitting here and there is no escape, so that's the first thing we've discovered today. But over the time that I was at London Metropolitan Archives, there was this slow but steady growth in trust and connection with communities. We are a big formal institution, and that for a lot of people has its own resonance. It has its own trouble, you know, in terms of the way people think about it. And I hope what has been established there over nearly 20 years has been a model of engagement where the collections come in, but they still belong to the community. And the collections come in and are used by the community. And there is an active, really, you know, full-on program of engaging people through conferences, through talks, through walks, all sorts of those kinds of things. And those things are also generated by people's suggestions from the community. And I think that's a really important point for me personally. You can see things going on around where I think people need to look very carefully about where things get deposited. I think people need to look very carefully about the commodification of materials. One of the things, you can see that ephemera is already on sale out there. That always happens. But I think the community, as well as looking after that material so it is accessible to all, should also take into very serious consideration that they still maintain some control over that material. And that has been the model, again, the model of practice at London Metropolitan Archives, where people, the archive lives with that institution but belongs to the people who have placed it there. And therefore there is a double protection. Because what you don't want in the future is saying, well, this is now an asset. Let's see who wants to collect it as a collectible and things like that. So there are very important things to consider. One of the things I certainly learned over my time at LMA and looking at the work at Islington Local History Centre, which is a small archive, Bishopsgate, as I've mentioned before, even the National Archives, which are even bigger than us, they're huge. What I've seen there is the upsurgence of interest. And you talk about sort of young people are sometimes disengaged. I think that is sometimes true. But we certainly got young people interested and involved in those things through working through youth groups and things like that. But it takes a lot of work. It takes time. And that is also something I would want to sort of throw in the mix. There is, what time do institutions have? What time do individuals have to make these things happen? Well, the truth is it is reliant on its volunteers, its activists, its people who have their family meetings in our building. One of the things that my senior manager said at one of our last conferences, I think captures the ethos, which I think is a really important one. And he said, we are this archive, but actually, when you come to this space, it is a queer space. When you come to this space representing any community, it is that community's space. That is what it becomes. It's a shape changer. And I think, again, that's something I would really emphasize. That's what actually was what's so exciting about it. It flexed and responded. If you find that something is institutionally driven, then it starts to lock things down. So I would advocate flexibility. No yoga, though. But flexibility and responsiveness. The other thing that I also think is really, really crucial is that building one's personal collection is a kind of activism, because you're making yourself visible and remembering a life that is well lived and important. If you share that in an archive, you are celebrating the same and you are bringing it together with the other people in the community. By doing that, you create a solidarity, an entity, which is much, much more powerful. And I have sat in rooms where older people have talked about their experiences of keeping records of their lives, particularly two guys who had been together for probably 60 years. They were well in their 80s. Both had been nurses. And they said, oral history, recording our voices over the last 2 years have been really important for us, because for most of our life together, we have been illegal. We have been against the law. And we have kept no letters, no diaries, no address books, because if we were arrested, those things could be retrieved and other people tracked down. Basically, there was this great gap and silence in their lives, except we gave them a recorder and they started talking, which was fantastic. But I think that's really well worth remembering. You're absolutely right, listening to this. It's so important that those kinds of stories are conveyed to new people coming up, because the great enemy is complacency. The great enemy is thinking it's all sorted out now and everything's lovely. We know that it's not. But actually just thinking, we can sit in this room today and we're all comfortable with each other and it's fantastic. But there is work to be done and things to be resisted. So that would be my welcome message. Get up, get out there, make some recordings.
So I have to look at our schedule and will make my moderation a little bit shorter. Now it's time to find out why we are here. The next two speakers, representing our 11 members Berlin Steering Committee, they will let you know about the mission and vision. It's Katja Koblitz from the Berlin Lesbian Archive Spinnboden and Sunny Est, a multidisciplinary artist and producer. Please join me in welcoming both.
to everybody. My name is Katja Koblitz, and I welcome you very warmly to Berlin. I'm working for the Spinnboden Lesbian Archive and Library, existing since 1973. Spinnboden has been one of the key actors of the LGBTIQ movement here in Berlin and even in Germany. Even if... Even if homosexuality is no longer prosecuted in Germany, we all, lesbian, gay, bisexual, trans, inter, and queer persons, are still fighting against structural disadvantages, the lack of visibility in public spheres, and the discrimination in daily life. Most recently, we are confronted by intensified attacks of right-wing organizations. Queer and memory. Queer and memory seem to be contradictory concepts at first sight. Archives, libraries, museums, and collections produce hegemonic meanings by collecting, categorizing, showing, and mediating records of the past and the present. They build on and even reinforce symbolic orders of gender, race, and class, constructing the we by excluding the other. Queer is used as an umbrella term for political alliances of sexual or other outsiders. The term is also known as a theoretical concept, unmasking traditional structures and categories as norm-based. Looking closer, the contradiction of queer and memory is not as big as it seemed to be. Any kind of remembrance has to be revived, not to be forgotten. As memory locations and places of representation, archives, libraries, museums, and collections do change permanently. Queer in itself, also as a performative process, questioning norms and structures. The queering of systems and discourses produces critique and hopefully alternatives, even alternative strategies which can be inspired by queer reading, queer acting, and queer performing. In the light of these considerations, we as the steering committee, and we are much more than the two of us here, want to propose the following three questions for the ALMS conference here now in Berlin. What does queering memory mean under the political, social, and cultural conditions of the present? How can the diversity of queer histories be made visible in these digitized times? Which ideas, strategies, and attitudes can emerge from artistic interventions in queer archives, libraries, museums, and special collections? In the three following days, you will have the chance to listen to over 40 panels with over 150 speakers, I don't know, and artists ranging from queering Wikipedia to transqueering public museums and memories. As a special slot, we offer open sections like Café Global or Hirschfeld Bar Panorama. There are also movies, exhibitions, audio plays, theater plays, and performances. So make sure you don't miss them. Our hope is to create archives, libraries, museums, and special collections as places where social values, norms, and structures are constantly questioned and queer. Let's find some strategies in the next 3 days. Thank you very much.
Good morning. My name is Sanias. I'm a multimedia artist and founder of the Berlin-based trans feminist platform and festival Empower. Like many other queer... Thank you. Like many other queer initiatives, Empower was founded out of a personal and urgent necessity of trans POC empowerment in Berlin. And that's where I would like to just make a little note on what has been said here before, that Berlin is a representative for freedom and diversity, but we should never stop asking ourselves for home. Thank you. But other than Empower, there has been a number of organizations and institutions that constitutes the steering committee of this conference that I would like to name, which are the Schwules Museum, the FF Beitzet, das Feministische Archiv, the Lili Elbe Archiv, the Initiative Queer Nations, the Research Center for the Cultural History of Sexuality at Humboldt University, Sabura Manu Nakshband, and of course the Magnus Hirschfeld Gesellschaft. Thank you. Maybe it's not clear to everyone, but this board and the steering committee is majorly white and European. So there is a clear, I mean, that there has been a topic also for us, that there is a clear lack of diversity in this, in the organization and in the institutions. But I also would like to stress that the word diversity or inclusion or intersectionality doesn't do it either. Like, it's not enough to just get one person from each culture or from each like group to represent them. Thank you. Like, the word diversity does not automatically provide a safe space for POC and trans individuals or prioritize us or give us a protagonism in an intrinsically anti-black post-colonial classist hierarchical society that we live in. Okay, thank you. The decolonizing practice must be taken seriously, communally, and continuously in order for equality to become a realistic goal. This year, we're also very happy to invite you to the OMS conference at the Haus der Kulturen der Welt, which you probably already know by now, has been the terrain of Magnus Hirschfeld Institute for Sex Science, which was founded exactly 100 years ago. Also this year we have an unusual aspect, which is the artistic focus of the conference, and that's mainly due to the fact that we are kindly funded by Hauptstadt Kulturfonds, which you probably also already know by now. And the reason I mentioned trans feminine and POC empowerment is because queerness has historically been dominated by cis masculine white narratives, leading to the erasure of black, brown, Asian, cis female, and trans existences, as well as sex workers and queer people living in poverty, like, please let us say their names, Sylvia Rivera and Marsha P. Johnson. And this erasure cornered us to systemic oppression, exclusion, loneliness, and ultimately violence. Let us also not forget that black trans women and trans women of color are still the main target for murder. So when thinking queer memory, never cease to ask yourself whose memories are being prioritized and why. Thank you.
Sunny mentioned it again, our arms conference commemorates the 100th anniversary of the World's Queer Archive and Special Collections, the Institute of Magnus Hirschfeld. It was located at the very place where we are today, the Haus der Kulturen der Welt, in German shortly, HKW. We are absolutely delighted that the HKW was willing straight away to host the arms conference and to celebrate the 100th anniversary of the Hirschfeld Institute. For this, let me thank the director's office, especially Olga Sievers, for the wonderful cooperation to organize this event. And we are delighted to present this evening a kind of a reenactment by a theater play about the Hirschfeld Institute at this historical place and at this stage. And you see the scenery already there. The next speaker is a representative from the HKW. He is the head of the Communications and Cultural Education. Please join me in welcoming Daniel Neugebauer.
What a lovely sight. Dear guests and dear colleagues, dear friends, and collaborators, dear queers, dear queerers, and dear memory workers. It's really an honor to host you all here and to be able to get into an exchange about all the ideas you're gonna have. I'm also representing our director, Bernd Scherer, who's in Argentina, and says hi to all of you. I'm so especially delighted to be standing here today because I have also a very personal history of queering. My institutional history has a lot to do with queering in the Netherlands, where I was involved in the queering the collections movement, of which a lot of participants are already here. So hi again to everyone. I'm very much looking forward to meeting all old friends again, but also getting a couple of new friends. The last project I was doing in the Netherlands within the Queering the Collections program was called Why Am I Here? It was a residency program for trans and intersex artists. And I want to jump into the questions why I think it's good that you are here and it's right that you are here and why we are a good place to queer memories. First of all, it was already mentioned, of course, that we have a historical obligation to queer memory here because on the eastern side of this building, on the ground where the building is now standing, the famous institute of Magnus Hirschfeld was standing. And because of that, the area that is closest to it is called the Hirschfeld Bar. But that's, of course, not the queerest part of HKW. We are also doing a lot of queer programs. We're investigating into queer figures like Hubert Fichte. Later that fall, we're doing a queer program about cruising corpo literacy in September, which I want to invite you for. But mostly, this is a place in Berlin for critical reflection and critical self-reflection. And that is, of course, a very important part of queering memory. But also the history of this place is very rich. You might not know, or some of you are here for the first time, that this building was built as the Berlin West Berlin Congress Hall in 1957. It was a gift by the US Americans to West Germany, to West Berlin, and it was located here close to the then very much existing border between East and West as, let's say, a propaganda tool or an architecture to represent the West, the freedom of the West, towards the East, where it was very visible also. When there was a disaster in 1980, when this idea of the freedom of the West collapsed literally because the construction wasn't done properly and most of the building was damaged, it was rebuilt, but then there was no need for a Congress Hall anymore. And the structure of Berlin has changed. It became a more multicultural space, and Berlin was in need of a place to represent other cultures than the German culture. So it became the House of World Cultures, Haus der Kulturen der Welt, in 1989. So we're celebrating our 30th birthday this year. And then in the 90s, it was something like the multicultural space of Berlin. And then it changed again around 2006 when our current director, came here and we became a place for transdisciplinary research, a house where sciences and different arts are meeting to be able to create new narratives and new investigations into the present day. We also, and this apart from the queer part, I want to come to the memory part, we take pride in having programs with a, let's say, a long-term memory. We do not do a lot of one-off projects, let's say, like this. We mostly do three-year projects that feed into new three-year projects, into new three-year projects. The first was called the Anthropocene project, because we think it really matters to position humanity and its impact to our planet. Afterwards, there was a program called 100 Years of Now, which was dealing with alternatives, ideas of time and chronoliteracy, because we think it matters to be able to think past, present, and future together. And just in January of this year, we opened a new program called Das Neue Alphabet, the New Alphabet, where we are investigating into new literacies, because we do think that we need new alphabets to make sense of this world and to speak about it. So we are creating complex new narratives from the past and the future, and it's really great to pick a lot of ideas that you are going to present during the next years to enrich our research, I hope. So I'll be around and try to check as much as I can. Thank you very much for contributing. Thank you very much for sharing. I'm really looking forward to this exchange, but also, as was said before, we need some space for celebration, to celebrate the difference that we all represent. So I would all ask us to celebrate the difference that we lived, a difference remembered, a difference that needs to be archived, and a difference that ultimately matters to us and to the world. Thank you very much.
The majority of you will already know the next speaker by name, due to so many emails as well as Facebook posts. She's our program coordinator, who became in praxis our ALMS program director, Kate Davison. Our organizing team learned, thanks to Kate, to speak a little bit better English. Because she is an historian from Melbourne, she worked at the Australian Lesbian and Gay Archives and is living actually in Berlin. And now you will learn from her more about the program, logistics and housekeepings of our conference and its venue. Please give a warm welcome to Kate.
Thank you, and I would just like to say thank you so much to all the speakers who have come. I'm just kind of buzzing with excitement. I'm so excited about this conference. It's been so exciting to put the program together. I don't really have time to express my excitement to you because I'm the whipcracker that is trying to keep everything on time. I just especially wanted to thank Andreas Pretzel for just really being, he really is the conference manager, the conference director, the inspiration behind everything. So. And perhaps during the process of the next 3 days, you can approach us and find out what our nicknames for one another have become, actually. I'm happy to tell you what his was. Okay, so very, very quickly, because we do have to move on, I just want to draw your attention to some things in the conference program. So in your bag, you all have one of these. These amazing programs that were laid out by our amazing graphic designer in the organizing team, Ezra Paul, who all of you have probably communicated with as well. On the very last page, at the very back, there is a page of useful information. There you find the Wi-Fi details, some information about money in Germany. It's very important. They only use cash. It's the fourth biggest economy in the world, home of European finance, cash only. And some information about some taxis and things. But I also wanted to mention a few other things. The program in the front, the short schedule, we sent this to the printer 10 days ago. Some speakers have cancelled in the meantime. So nothing has changed in terms of the room or the title of the session. That is all the same. But if you want the most up-to-date version, or you're wondering, oh, I thought there were three speakers, there were supposed to be four, always go by the one that's on the website. That is absolutely up-to-date. So that was updated yesterday by Ezra Powell, the magician. Okay. Photographs. If you don't want to be photographed during the conference, we have special badges at the information desk that you can stick to yourself. That's up to you. And people, we've communicated with people around the conference who are going to be media people who are going to be taking photographs, or people who are recording, that they need to pay attention to that. Toilets. There are many toilets located around the house, and we have toilets for everybody. So there are toilets that are separated by gender, female toilets, male toilets, but there are also all-use toilets for everybody, and there are accessible toilets as well. So you can find those. The catering, so the lunch and dinner catering will be served on the outdoor terrace. It is all vegetarian. I have communicated directly with... They say in German it was a difficult birth. I have communicated with... I've communicated with people who have special requirements. For example, they're vegan or they're gluten-free and so on. If I haven't communicated with you directly about that, please approach me, because we have special arrangements for you. The film matinees, all film matinees will be in this room. They'll start 15 minutes after the advertised break start time. The walking tours, if you want to do one of the walking tours, you need to sign up for them at the information desk. Payment to the tour guide will be in cash directly. We do not accept any money. Once the list is full, it's full. Maybe you might try your luck. If the list is full, you might kind of come and hover around the meeting point to see if someone's dropped out. But these are kind of things that are extra to the program. They're not included in your ticket. Translations will be in this room and in conference room 1, K1. That's the best that we were able to arrange, and it will be between German and English. The information table, which was the registration table this morning, will be open throughout the conference and will be staffed by our amazing team of volunteers. If you see anyone with a yellow badge, this is the colour that the staff of the conference and the volunteers are wearing. So if you see someone with a yellow badge who looks like they're doing a lot of work for you, please thank them. And be very nice to them, and they're the people that you can ask for help. If you are a session chair, there is a volunteer allocated to your room for every single session to help get water, glasses, make sure that there are enough seats, and help with the loading and unloading of PowerPoint presentations. I think I have to end because we've actually used up all our break time. I would ask that perhaps the session chairs for the next session aim to begin in 10 minutes so that we all have time to actually get to the room. We've built in 1.5 hours, 90 minutes of break time. So they're quite generous, but I discourage you from using that as a sort of a seeping in kind of phase to kind of finish off discussions. Please keep to the time, and please be on time to the sessions as much as possible. Not leading by doing, just do what I say, not what I do. And thank you very much, and I hope you enjoy the conference.
Thank you, Leslie.
So on behalf On behalf of our steering committee and the organizing team, we all wish you an inspiring conference, and now let's start to work. Well.